Amen. So let's have a word of prayer. We're going to get right into the word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you praise and we worship you. We bless your name. We thank you for an opportunity to be here in your presence. Lord, we know you are here and we ask you for utterance. Anoint my lips. Give me for exact utterance. Help me to speak the exact words you want your people to hear. I pray, Lord God, that at the end, lives will be changed and transformed, and that your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's always an honor when I am given an opportunity to preach or to speak to God's people. I consider it a very huge privilege, and I just want to thank Pastor Lan again and Pastor Debo for this honor. Our theme for the year at City Light, as you can see from the design, is power and influence. Power and influence. Power is the ability to do work, and influence is the capability to affect something, someone, or even yourself. So this year, God spoke to Pastor Lan and declared that this is our year of power and influence. And so for the past 3 months, we've been discussing the different dimensions of power and influence. So in the month of January, we talked about prayer power, prayer power. And we said that, a life of prayer and prayer itself enables the release of power and influence. Amen. And then in the month of February, we talked about people power. How that God influences people to release his power on people who also use that same power to influence others. We talked about the interactions with people, how to build relationships and teamwork, the power of people. And then in the month of March, we talked about purpose power, how God releases his influence and his power through purpose, through the identification of our purpose in life, through the identification of the reason why we were created. When you know that, you begin to walk in an unprecedented type of power that can affect your life and affect the lives of those that are around you. And in the month of April, the Lord spoke to Pastor Lan, and the month of April has been tagged Word Power. Everybody say Word Power. Say Word Power. So I feel personally that this dimension of power is like the glue to all the different dimensions of power that we're going to be talking about. Paul in the book of Ephesians talked about the armor of God, and he says put on the belt of truth, right? We're going to be talking a little bit about that, the belt of truth. And you know what your belt does? Your belt holds everything up together, right? So the word power holds everything together. That's in my opinion. So over the course of this month, we'll be discussing the power of the word of God. Everybody say the power. Say the power of the word of God. And so our text for this month is John chapter 8 from verse 31 to 32. John chapter 8 from verse 31 to 32. And if you can project it, that would be great. The best technical team in the world. Amen. So basically, what am I going to be doing for this next 2 weeks? I mean, you guys, put on your seatbelts. It's going to be amazing. Amen. I mean, this whole month is going to be amazing. You're going to hear some things that might shake your mind. Amen. It will shake your mind. Amen. But it'll be good. It'll be good for you. Amen. So basically, what am I, my task for this morning and for next week is to delve into the power of God's word and how it influences our lives. Delve into the power of the Lord, of God's word, and how it influences our life. And so the aim of this today's message is to make a case for the word of God and to let everyone know, those that are here and those that are watching, that there's power in the word of God. In case you didn't know, there's power in the word of God. Maybe you've been trivializing it, you know, maybe you've been looking at the Word of God as some form of simple, baseless, you know, words that are very old and ancient, but I'm here to submit to you that there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. Hallelujah. So that's what I plan to do today. I plan to make a case that there's power in the Word of God. Next week I'll talk about how we engage that power, the power in the Word of God. So if I would title the message today, I will, you know, the message of this message, the title of this message is, you guessed it, the power of the word. The power of the word. So is John chapter 8 up? All right. So John chapter 8 and verse 32. Amen. I'm going to take it a little bit slow today, but we'll get where we need to get to. It says, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Go back to verse John 8:31. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Can we use a KJV version of the scriptures, please? He said, then he said to the Jews who believed in him, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and indeed ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. First thing we want to notice there from the scripture is that that particular text was specifically addressed to the Jews who believed. It was specifically addressed to Jews who believed. Amen. It says to the Jews who believed, he specifically said to them, if you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, then you will know something that is able to set you free. Amen. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 29, if you can project that very quickly, the Bible tells us that, you know, there's really no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, and that the common denominator is the belief in Jesus Christ. And that by virtue of our belief in Jesus Christ, we've been elevated to the status of the Jews. Amen. So we can infer that what Jesus Christ was saying to those Jews who believed in John chapter 8 is applicable to us as well. Right? Because if we are spiritual Jews, if we are have been elevated to the status of Jews because of our belief in Jesus Christ, then it means that we can claim what Jesus Christ said for ourselves, even though it was written to Jews who believed. Amen. Today we can appropriate that scripture and we can apply that scripture for ourselves today because it is in essence applicable to us. Say amen to that. So don't exclude yourself from that scripture. Jesus Christ is talking to you and I now and he's saying, if you continue in my word, that word is able to do something. It's going to release a truth. You will know the truth. And that truth has the ability to set you what? Free. Abide there means, you know, is abiding in the word is proof of discipleship. In other words, the condition or what shows that you are a disciple of Jesus is that you continue in the word of God. It's not that you start on one day and you stop, or that you start, you know, and then when times are tough, you kind of shy away from it. No, that as you continue, you're going to know something. You're going to know the truth. Hallelujah. And that truth will set you free. The truth is not just mere truth. Is the truth of an idea. Is the truth of reality. The truth is not an illusion. What we're talking about here is not something that we just talk about just because we have nothing else to say. With the truth that Jesus Christ is talking about here is reality. Amen. That's the true reality. The Bible says that when you abide in the word of God, you will know that truth. Hallelujah. You will know what is true in any matter under consideration. The Bible says that regardless of what you are going through, as long as you abide in this word, you're going to have wisdom for everything you need in life. Truth. As opposed to falseness. You will know it. Hallelujah. And it says it will set you free. That word free there is a verb. It means it will set you free properly. It will set you free in its entirety. It means it will release you from any form of restriction that you might have. It will release you from bondage. That is the power of the word of God. He said, when you abide in this word, it has the ability to set you free. You have to allow that to register your mind. I don't know if there are any restrictions that you're experiencing right now. You may be experiencing some restrictions physically. In other words, you are sick. You may be experiencing some restrictions mentally. In other words, you're not able to process things. You may be experiencing some restrictions spiritually. But I'm here to announce to you that as you continue in the Word of God, the Word of God has power to set you free, to free you from those restrictions. You may be restriction, you may be feel the restriction of sin that is causing, fear, that is causing guilt and shame. But I'm here to announce to you that as you give yourself to the Word of God, it will set you free from that bondage and from that restriction. Say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, "So if the Son of God makes you free, you are free indeed." This freedom is not a partial freedom. It's a complete freedom. It's something that goes till the end. It's freedom indeed. You will experience it. It's almost a guarantee. It's almost a rubber stamp that this is what will happen when you continue to abide in the Word of God. It says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. The restrictions are gone. I know what's happening in your mind now. You are saying, "Pastor Omo, indeed. If I'm free indeed, then why am I still experiencing that pain?" Right? If I'm free indeed, why am I still feeling the restriction of sin? Don't worry, we'll get to that. Amen. We'll get to that. Let's park that question somewhere. We will get to that. Amen. So let me establish the Word of God here. John chapter 17. Remember, we said John chapter 8 says, if you know the truth, it says, and you will know. That knowledge is an experiential knowledge of the truth. It's not just head knowledge, because people have head knowledge of the Word of God. But we're talking about an experience. It says, as you continue in the Word, you will have an experiential knowledge of the Word of God. It will be experiential. It will not just be something you know shallow, something that is just half-baked. It will be experiential. Hallelujah. And that truth will set you free. All right, John chapter 17 and verse 17. Can we read that? It says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So if we do simple mathematics here, we can see that truth equals word, right? It says, "Sanctify them by the word. Your word is what? Truth." So if we go back to John chapter 8 and verse 32, we can read it like this. It says, "If you continue and abide in my work, then you will know you are my disciples. Then," or "and, you will know the word." Right? I'm replacing truth with word. "Then you will know the word, and the word will" what? "You will know the word, and the word will" what? Word equals truth. They're the same. The word of God is the truth of his word. You cannot separate the two of them. They are the same. He says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Sanctify them. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by the word." That word there, the Greek word for that word is the word logos. Logos means divine utterance. The divine utterance of God. The truth that Jesus Christ, the word that Jesus Christ is talking about is the divine utterance of God. The word that comes out of the mouth of God has power to set you free. The divine logos. The word, it is a word being expressed through a thought or a reasoning. It's a word that comes loaded with all kinds of abilities, all kinds of powers lodged inside of it. It is not just mere words. These are not just light words. These are heavy duty words, because they are emanating from a heavy duty source. Hallelujah. So you cannot take those words lightly. You should not take the words lightly, because it's the divine utterance of God. That's what Jesus Christ said. The words I'm speaking to you, they are true. They are loaded. They are not mere words. They are powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 33 and verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord is right and true." Again, equating the word with truth. You cannot separate truth from the word. It says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In other words, and you will know the word, the divine utterance of God. And that divine utterance of God is what has the power to set you free. Are you getting that? All right, stay with me. Now, John chapter 1 and verse 1 says something. It says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the divine utterance of God. And the divine utterance was with God. Of course, you cannot separate God from His Word, just like you cannot separate yourself from your words. When your words come out, they've come out from your mouth. The same concept. Hallelujah. It says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and that same Word was made flesh. So if we were to extend our equation, our mathematical equation, I would say the new formula is Word equals truth equals Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Word equals truth equals what? Jesus Christ. I've turned to a mathematician this morning. That means if we were to read John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32 again, it will say if you continue in Jesus, who is the Word, who is the truth, and abide in Him, it says, then you will know the truth, who is the Word, and who is Jesus Christ. And that truth, who is the Word, and who is Jesus Christ, is able to set you free. Say amen to that. So guess what? You are in the right place today. Amen. Because Jesus is here. Amen. You guys are not excited. I don't even know what's going on. Hallelujah. So basically, engaging the Word of God releases the power of freedom. When we begin to allow this thing to get into our minds, we begin to experience that power of what? Of freedom. But we won't talk about how to engage the Word today. We'll talk about that next week. I want to give you some teasers. I want to talk about the power of the Word. So, I'm going to talk about 7 or 8 expressions of the power of the Word of God. The first one we just talked about is freedom power. Everybody say freedom power. Say freedom power. You know you can't free anything without power. Right? You can't free anything without power. Even presidents have to have the political power to be able to pardon what? Offenders, right? The slavery was abolished and, aborted because of what? Power. Political power. Amen. So if Jesus Christ is saying, when you know this truth, the truth will make you free, He's saying that there is enough power in that Word to make you free. Do you get it? So there is freedom power in the Word of God. Just believe it. Just take it. There is what? Freedom power in the Word of God. Are you seeking freedom from anything? It is in that Word. It is in knowing the Word. Guess what it didn't say? It didn't say, then you will quote the truth. He said you will know the truth. It is the knowledge of the truth that sets free, not just the stating of the truth. Because there are many people who talk the truth, but they don't know the truth. Two separate things. You can talk till you're blue in the face, but it has to be an experiential knowledge before it becomes a reality to you. Amen. So he's saying simply there that there is enough power to free you. To set you free. Many people might not want to admit that they're in bondage. But I'm here to tell you that whatever bondage you're going through, there is freedom power in the Word of God. His Word will set you free. 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 Are you sick? His Word will set you free. Are you tired of struggling with stuff? His Word will set you free. His Word will set you free. Then there's creative power in the Word. Many people question the origin of creation. Many people say, well, we don't know where we came from, but we know that there was an explosion sometime somewhere. A little dot, white light just exploded. And once when it exploded, it released some heat in the environment, and that heat began to, get different particles together, and that's what formed the planets. And when it cooled down, it formed different types of, clusters and all that stuff. And, they are having serious problems with the origin of creation. But guess what? That there's creative power in the Word of God. John chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3. Let's read it again. It says, in the beginning. In the beginning. At that point where scientists don't know what happened. Scripture has already told us what happened. At that point where they are trying to contend with what happened, Scripture already tells us in the beginning. In the beginning, the Greek word there means at the initial point, at the starting point, at the point ahead of the rest of points, at the point of reference to all points of reference, the Bible says, was the Word. The Word preceded creation, and because the Word preceded creation, the Word brought forth creation from this Scripture. Hallelujah. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, everybody say all things. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In other words, every single thing that we see in this world, in this life, was made by the Word of God. Hallelujah. It came forth from the Word of God. The creative power of the Word of God released creativity in this universe. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created. And then if you read later, it says, and God what said. When He spoke, things happened. Hallelujah. And that's speech that He spoke, that word that He spoke, that logos began to create stuff. Hallelujah. And we know from John that that logos is Jesus Christ, what? Himself. Hallelujah. So that's the creative power of the Word of God. The creative power of the Word of God. The logos of God's Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, For us there is one God, the Father of whom are ye all things, and for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things, and through whom we live. Another translation says that things emanated from Jesus Christ. Scientists say that this planet just emanated. They argue that it just happened. But Scripture tells us that, boom, it came from the Word of God. Everything came from the Word of God. The Logos is the creative power of the Word. The divine uttered Word of God is what launched creativity into existence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read. I want to show you something. Can you project that picture for me, please? Online. If you can project the picture of our galaxy. And then I'm going to read something to you from Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Okay. This is what we call the Milky Way. By the way, let me give you the progression so you can understand what I'm talking about. Now we have the Earth. So in this constellation, all these little white dots you see here, these are planets and stars, right? Planets and stars. I hope you know, for those of you who know your, astronomy, that the sun is a star. And it's one of the smallest stars actually. So, can you see Earth here? In this picture? No, right? No. Why? Because, the progression, this is the progression of things. Well, you have the Earth, you have the solar system, then you have the Milky Way, which is our galaxy. One galaxy. And science has proven that there are billions of galaxies. So like we have these whole clusters, there are billions of these clusters all over the place. Then you have what? Local groups. You have Virgo super clusters, you have observable universe. In other words, you have piles and 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 piles of this scattered in the universe. Let that think about it. Can you see yourself in that picture? You can? No, I mean physically. Can you see yourself in that picture? No, you can't. You can't. Because it is made up of, the Earth is somewhere there, the sun is somewhere there, and this is just one Milky Way, one galaxy, and there are billions of this. Guess what the Bible says about this? Hebrews 1:3. Keep this picture in your mind. Let's go to the scriptures. Hebrews 1:3. It says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Upholding all things. Another scripture talks about upholding the universe by the word of His power. You see that picture we showed there? and the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of galaxies that exist, the Bible tells us that the thing that is holding everything together is the Word of God. Think about it. Think about it. Let that emanate. The thing holding the sun, the earth, and the solar system, and the cluster, and the galaxy, and the clusters, and the universe. In fact, there are multiverses, not even universe, not one. There are multiple. And scientists say it keeps expanding. The Bible tells us. And scientists just need to read the Bible. It's already there. They just need to read it and interpret it well. Because you know something, reality is that in 1599, the entire world did not think that we had multiverses. They thought that the earth was the center of the universe. And that everything kind of emanated around. They said, oh, they know. But the Bible said, God made the heavens. Plural. It's in the world. Everything, I'm trying to tell you that everything is in the world. The creative power that holds this universe together is the Word of God. That's the energy. That's the power. That's the source. And guess what? You and I are part of that whole constellation. And you and I are made from star stuff. We are made from the Word. Hallelujah. Psalm 33 and verse 6. Read Psalm 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. The creative power of the Word of God. The Word of the Lord, by the Word of the Lord, the heavens, you see it, were made. And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. So all God had to do was, He had to speak and He breathed, and the entire universe began the process of creation. He just breathed. He just spoke. In fact, in Genesis, He said, light be, and light just came. That spark that scientists say spark, what they call the Big Bang, it's not the Big Bang. God spoke, and everything boom, began to take shape. I'm telling you, there's power in this Word. It can create things. It has creative abilities. It has creative powers. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Are you getting something from this scripture? Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Come on. Come on, welcome, welcome. Hallelujah. By faith we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Hallelujah. So the invisible thing, the visible that we see, were created by the invisible, by the Word of God. We know this by faith. So we talked about the creative power. Hallelujah. So the next type of power, real quick, is life-giving power. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. So far we've talked about the freedom power that is in the Word. We just talked about the creative power in the Word. Now I'm going to talk about the life-giving power. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, for the Word of God is living. Everybody say living. The Word of God is not dead. Amen. The Word of God is not dead. The Word of God is living. We're not engaging or interacting with a dead word. It is living. And then it's active. Hallelujah. The Greek word for the word active is energeo. It's not the same word that was used, where it talked about, dynamic, the Word of God being a dynamic word, or being, having the ability to cause explosions or to cause things to emanate. This is energetic word. The Word of God is energetic. Amen. It is alive. It is active, energetic, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, of spirit, and of joint and marrow. So it is not only the life-giving power, but it is this dissective power. Anything that needs to be dissected, anything that needs to be spliced and diced in your life can be done by the Word of God. That double-edged sword is a sword that has two edges on the side. It's different from a single-edged sword. A double-edged sword, what they call it in those ancient fighters, They call it the sword that draws blood. It can draw blood on both sides. It has the ability to draw blood. In other words, the word of God, when you engage the word of God, you engage the power of the Lord, it can draw blood on your behalf. Now, not negatively, when I mean by draw blood, it can fight on your behalf. The Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. You know, as part of the armor. With the word of God, you can attack the enemy. You can splice him, you know, the devil and his works. You can cause disarray in his kingdom. When he's oppressing you, you can splice him with the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says it's alive. It's active. There's power inside of it. There's power inside of that word to divide even between soul and spirit. Those things that a surgeon cannot split, the word of God can split. The thing that a surgical knife cannot cut, the word of God can cut it. It can go deep into areas that you feel nobody can get to. The word of God can get there and do the work there. Those hidden secrets of your life that you think that nobody knows and that you are suffering quietly, suffering in shame, and you're just like, oh God, I wish somebody knew what I'm going through. You see, if you let the word of God, it will get there and it will solve that problem. It will probe into the word. You know, I like what a man of God said. He said, when you read the Bible, be careful, because guess what? The Bible is reading you too. It will probe into those areas of your life. If you allow him, remember, experiential knowledge of the word is what sets you free. If you allow him, he will probe into those areas and splice and dice those things that need to be cut out of your life. He will cut it out if you let him. Salvation power, real quick. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, which is the word of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation. There is power to save in the word of God. When people are going through bondage and sin and trouble, all you need is just a release of the word of God in that situation. And salvation springs up. Amen. It says it's the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. The word of God has the ability to save. There's power for salvation. Are you struggling with a relative that doesn't know God? Introduce the word of God in the situation. Or put the person in an area where the word of God is spoken and salvation. No choice. It has to show up. Amen. There is healing power. Romans chapter 107 and verse 20 in the word of God. He said he sent you his word and it healed them. Are you sick in this place? There is healing power in the word of God. As you allow the word, you engage the word of God, the healing power in the word is released. Hallelujah. And it will heal you of your sickness. There's a perfect example of that in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8. The centurion comes to Jesus Christ and his servant is sick. And, you know, people are expecting that Jesus will walk. In fact, Jesus got up and began to follow him and said, okay, let's go to your house. And the man said, no, you don't even need to come. I am a man under authority. In other words, I am somebody who has authority, but I'm also somebody under authority. Even though I am a powerful person, I understand the principle of authority. All you need to do is just speak. Woo! Jesus said, what? I have never seen such faith. He understands the concept of the power of the word of God. He knows it. He gets it. He now says, shall I find such faith? Jesus Christ saw in this centurion who was a Gentile, a person who understood that the word of God had power just by speaking it. And Jesus Christ said, he's healed. And at the moment Jesus said it, it happened. There's power in the word of God if you appropriate it correctly with your mouth. Healing power. There is sanctifying power in the word of God. John chapter 17 verse 17 says, he says, sanctify them by the word. Cleanse them. There's cleansing power. Do you feel dirty? All you need to do is expose yourself to the word of God and he will begin to cleanse you. Cleansing power in the word. There's revelation power in the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Are you confused in the house? Allow the word of God to permeate your mind and you will have clarity and revelation. The power of the word. Revelation power. And finally, there is recreation power. You are not born of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible word of God. Even now that we are saved, we're not just born again just because we say we are. But something happened when we confessed our allegiance to Jesus Christ. When we said we believe in his death and his resurrection, there was a power released to go into our spirit and not only just resuscitate the dead spirit man that was inside, the recreative power of the Lord created a new species of being on the inside of you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The word of God has the ability to change all things and make them new. You've got to just believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have talked about the seven dimensions. There could be more of the expression of the power of God. Freedom power. Creative power, life-giving power, salvation power, healing power, revelation power, recreational power. Very brief. I can't say everything, you know, in just this time that I'm allotted. You have to go discover it yourself because it's an experiential thing. Hallelujah. I cannot experience the word of God for you. You have to experience the word of God yourself. You have to get into it, engage it, and get to know what it's saying. Because guess what? There are different expressions of the word of God. God is constantly speaking. God is constantly speaking. God is constantly releasing his word. In fact, the scientists proved this. They said the universe is constantly expanding. In other words, that word that he spoke at the very beginning is still active. It's still causing creation. It's still causing healing. It's still causing salvation. It's still causing what? Recreation. That word is still alive and is active and is still powerful. Hallelujah. God is still speaking. What is God saying to you, brothers? What is God saying to you, sisters? God also speaks his word through men. Hallelujah. You know, in John 6 and 63, Jesus Christ talked about, you know, he said, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. So you can go to the word of Jesus and engage the word of Jesus. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says the word of God is God breathed. I'm going to delve into that more next week. God breathed. And I'm going to answer that question that I asked before next week. Hallelujah. It says, is God what breathed? God inspired people to write the word. It's not like God dictated the word. I think the only place you can say God dictated was probably in the book of Revelation. But God began to inspire men to write and to put the things written down in a book that we could what? Call the scriptures. Hallelujah. And as you engage this book, you will begin to operate in these different dimensions of power. Hallelujah. I want to read one last scripture as I close. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 13. And I'm going to dig more into this next week. Hallelujah. It says 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, can you project that please? 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 13. Oh, there's no 13? 3. Try 1, 3. Remembering without ceasing your walk of faith, labor of love, and patience and hope in the sight of God the Father. Keep going. Verse 4. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance as you know what kind of men we were among you. Verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. This is where I'm going. Verse 6, sorry. Having received the word of God in much affliction and with joy. So they received the word of God. Hallelujah. And verse 7. So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. I'll delve into this more next week. But basically you have to receive the word. As I've spoken the word of God. I've spoken scriptures, and I will explain to you next week why what I've spoken is called scripture. Why you can take it to the bank, right? And say, this is your word. Even though it was written by men, right? You can take it to the bank, what God has said, through the inspiration of men, and see how it works in your life. Hallelujah. Shall we stand up as we close? Hallelujah. Amen. So we talked about the power of God. John chapter 8 and 32 says, if you know the truth will set you free. If you know the word of God will set you free. Freedom power. Creative power. Recreation power. Life-giving power. Dissective power. Healing power. Begin to pray right now that you will begin to encounter the power of the word of God. Say, Lord, I want to encounter the power of the word. I've heard that you created the universe. You created the entire world, and you are holding and sustaining the world by your powerful power. Lord, I heard that there's healing in your word. I want to engage it. I want to encounter the power of the word. There's sanctifying power in the word. Cleanse me, Holy Spirit, with the word. There's revelation power. Lord, I lack wisdom. Reveal to me the steps I need to take. I want to encounter your word. I've learned today that it's the experiential knowledge of your word that causes freedom. I want a divine encounter with your word. Hallelujah. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we've heard your word this morning, you will help us to appropriate it. You will help us, Lord God Almighty, to walk in it in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.